we leave the matter. In verse 11, it says, "See with what large hands I am writing to you, large letters, sorry, I am writing to you with my own hand." He said, "Those who desire to make a good show in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised." Remember where we started from. When I started, this is where, that's what he was talking about. There are people who were pushing the law onto these Galatians. And that, those are the people he's referring to here. He said, "Those who desire to make a good show in the flesh try to compel you to be circumcised, simply that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ." That is, if you follow Paul's order, you are going to be going against that which is popular. You are going to be going against the established Jewish establishment of those days. And for that reason, you will be persecuted. He says, some people, they want peace. They don't want trouble. Therefore, they say, okay, let's just go for this circumcision thing and follow them so that we don't have any trouble. Paul said that's what they are trying to do when they are preaching to you, the circumcised. They are trying not to rock the boat. All right? He said, for those, verse 13, who are circumcised, that these same people that you are talking about do not even keep the law themselves, but they desire to have you circumcised that they may boast in your flesh. That is, go around bragging about the amount of work they have done. He said, now, please, this man, I'm going to explain this briefly before we close. He said, but may it never be, verse 14, that I should boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Please, I'd like to read that again. Before I read it, let me just explain that Paul is saying that there are many reasons why people may boast. There are many things that cause people to boast. But this is Christianity. This is the divine order that he has established, all right, in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. That any man who is boasting should boast only in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is, in what God has done in his life. In what God is doing in his life. As he's letting go of the old. Because the cross, listen, the cross of Christ, all right, is a symbol of something. It's a symbol of a departure from the old order and stepping into the new order. Are you getting my point? Listen, one thing I've been saying again and again is this, that as you grow as a believer, you will learn to approve, like the Bible says, those things that are excellent. You will learn to know what is good and what is, that is in itself, that has real substance, and what is just material that passes away. You know, one of the problems I have, I told a colleague of mine, I were discussing yesterday, about contemporary preaching, is that there's a mistake we make. I said that during our message on radio, that talking about foundations and pillars of financial prosperity. This is a mistake we make sometimes. You see, the unbeliever, he did his business. He made it as a multi-millionaire or billionaire before the age of 40. Do you understand? He has great cars, great houses. He has all kinds of things. He has 3 chieftaincy titles. You know? Now he has become a member of the House of Reps, and you think he might be the next governor of your state. And he did it as an unbeliever. So somebody now tells that, look, if an unbeliever can do it, we too can do it. We will not use his method. Amen? So we start again. What are we trying to achieve? We want to be a multi-billionaire before the age of 40. You want to have great cars and great houses. The difference, however, is that you are saying that maybe he joined a cult. Maybe he cheated. Maybe he stole. Maybe he dealt in drugs, whatever. You are not going to do that. You are going to do your business. You are going to anoint it with oil. You are going to prophesy over it. You are going to confess over it. And you are going to use all these spiritual machinations. You are going to light on the money and envision and have a great vision for your life. And then, if the man can do it before he's 40, you can do much more than that. But that's where you make the mistake. What is the mistake, you say? The mistake is not just in the methods now. Alright? It's in the goal for your life. Because you think 20 cars, 14 houses, multi-billionaire at the age of 38 is a big deal. And God said, no, I don't think so. I look at all of you, you look the same to me. You are a poor man with no car, he's a poor man with 2 cars. So, do you understand my point? You're a man who's going to die early with 25 houses. You're a man who's going to die early without any house. So 2 of you are going to die early. That is, I can't see any difference. That is like wearing pink shirt and yellow shirt. That is, see that guy going, yes. He's a strong man. Why do you think he's strong? His shirt is red. God said, what? What about the guy beside him? That guy is weak. Why? His shirt is white. Because he said, look, look, look. The color of the shirt doesn't tell the strength in his muscles. So you cannot wake up in the morning and say, I want to be a strong man. Say what? I'm going to go to the market and look for a red shirt. You're wasting time. Listen to me. That's what outward things are in the sight of God. That's why I said all flesh is what? Grass. That's what he was saying. So that's the mistake we make a lot of time in Christian preaching. We come and brag on what our God can do also while we are pursuing what the world is pursuing. Do you follow what I'm saying? Want to brag. Gone are the days when I used to wonder, it happened to me too. How come an unbeliever is the richest man in the world? And you know, God must have wondered. Thank you. That's called worldliness. For you to even be wondering about it is worldliness. You know what you said? He's the richest man where? In the world. Are you of the world? He's the richest man in the world. And to God doesn't mean anything. Then God will measure him in a crowd. He can't find Bill Gates. He's missing. It's you that think he's important. That God will look and say, look, all that one that you are seeing is not his work, it's my work. I just used him to distribute software. I don't know whether you can know how I explain. He said, what is it? Is he richest man so? So should I prove to you that he's a poor man? Should I prove? He said, God, no, don't kill anybody because of me. Alright, God say, relax. Now, what am I going to explain? I used to know, but now, as God is my witness, I thank him for it. Those things don't move me anymore. That's why you see, you hardly, if you listen to me for a long time, you hardly hear me quote Bill Gates. I can't remember quoting him on anything. You have money, doesn't make you a man that has words to speak. I read a lot too. I've read a lot of all these unbelieving rich men. I've read their books. I will quote the king of Manhattan for you. What's his name? Donald Trump. And I will tell you that he said is not true. What he said, please don't follow him here. The man believes you don't forgive people. He believes that if your wife is disturbing your career, divorce her and keep on moving. So you are rich does not mean that what you are saying is good. The then richest man in the world, Paul Getty, said, how do you make money? Say, rise up early, go to bed late and strike oil. I say, foolishness. Those were the words of Paul Getty. How to become rich? He said, rise up early, go to bed late and strike oil. I said, this is pure foolishness. He forgot that many men rose up early, went to bed late, and struck sand. After digging and digging and digging, all they struck was what? Sand. That the ability to strike oil is a gift of God. And that God said, it is vain to rise early and to go to bed late. Because there are men who strike oil while they sleep. And I told the story of Mary Kay Ash, whose son walked up to her and said, Mommy, this, my friend, is a geologist. Invented a new method of prospecting for oil. And I think it's good. You should invest in it. And she invested in it and forgot about it. And then one day, I don't know how long after, the son called her and said, how come everything you put your hands to turns to gold? Say, what are you talking about? He said, that investment that time, we have struck oil and your share in the first 1 month is over $100,000. She didn't rise up early. She didn't go to bed late. Do you understand what I'm saying? In her case, she forgot that she was investing in oil striking. You follow what I'm saying? So the fact that you are rich in the world doesn't mean you have it doesn't mean to me that you have a voice. Doesn't necessarily mean that, look, there are poor and wise men, all right? And there are rich and foolish men. Do you get my point? Yeah, the words of a poor and wise man, all right? The Bible says that his wisdom is not hidden, but the Bible called him wise. In the same manner, it tells you, there are rich people who are very foolish. Please, don't heed their words, even though everybody is following them. Because the earth produces, he himself does not know how. He may not know exactly why he has that amount of wealth. You are getting what I'm going to explain. So, people, that's the problem we have in Christianity. We make an object, all right, of what the world has made a goal. And we are running towards the same worldly goal and using Christian methods. Do you follow? Let me give you an example. I'm a preacher, so I can give you this kind of example. Everything that one does has a reason for doing it. I have gotten all kinds of counsels because people think I have the same reason for doing what I'm doing as they have. Pastor Banky, all you need to do is convert this to Sunday service, expand here, expand there. The crowd will be plenty. In my mind, you see, you think the object of what I'm doing is to gather more people. You follow what I'm going to explain? Now, maybe God is sending, in fact, I was talking about the other day about somebody. I said, look, why this man and I differ a bit, all right? He's a man I respect a lot. Is that he looks at this crowd number thing, all right? As a sign of ministry he's succeeding now. Therefore, he explained at the time that gone are the days when he used to preach for so long that he preached hard, the church was small. But now he preaches short, the church is plenty. So I told my wife, I said, I have a problem with this. Because the long messages of those days, I've listened to the two of them. And the short ones. And I think those long messages contain more substance than the short ones. As a matter of fact, the bigger the congregation, the shorter you preach. All you need to do is follow ministry a bit. Because plenty of people, all the patience you have for sitting down here and listening is, oh boy, bless us, we have to go. Let us pray. From today, your breakthrough will never cease. Amen. There are those, that's all they want. I have been to church before. Great man of God's preaching. And just look around. But there's one woman in front of me. I wanted to remove my shoe and knock her head. Madam, will you shut up? Because before the man, once the man's, you know, there's a pose you take and you know prayer is about to come. It's like my son, once you wear a shirt, the boy knows you are going out. It's insists you carry him because you want to go out. So once the man takes that pose and says, hear me. The woman, she was sitting in front of me. She puts up her two hands and starts shouting, hey. Say, this woman ain't listening to anything. There are those who go to redemption camp. You know, this 10 million man gathering monthly. They come with cooking pot. I'm not joking. Beans. You know how long it takes to cook beans? Tent for themselves and their children, mat. They will settle down, cook for the family, serve everybody food, then stretch on the mat and tell their neighbor, please, when Papa wants to start praying, wake me up. All the praise worship, they are asleep. All the teaching of the word, it is sleeping. When the man is saying, and then God said, she's asleep. Then when they say, tonight, your, madam, it don't begin, no. I'm telling you, no, this is a fact of life. You understand my point? You can't be teaching one and the other house and crowd will follow you. What is wrong with you? Yeah, it's not possible. It's not possible. Not because you are a bad person or they are bad people. Just that Jesus just said that this will follow me for that. It's because of free bread. Why do you think he used to run away? The crowd, they are looking for you. He said, come guys, let's go. Don't mind them. It's food they are looking for. No, it's true. That's why he will tell stories and then they will go away. This one went for to so, yo man! And some fell by wayside. Ooh, wayside! And they were trampled upon. Great trampling. And the birds of the air ate them up. Man, those birds are fed. Say, now that guy, they preach. See, as it's in the rhyme. Even the disciples, as the message is going on, the disciples are looking. Peter will look at James. Say, what is he saying? Everybody's getting excited, though. Peter will look at James. This man has come again. What is he saying? Say, I don't know. What kind of funny child bedtime story is this? That's all they are looking at. So, after they say, I hope you enjoy today's message. Yo, man. Okay, you don't go multiply bread tonight or more go by. After they've all gone, disciples now come. I said, God, thank you for the sermon. I hope you know it didn't have any meaning. Jesus said, I know now. No, you know what used to happen? Jesus said, I know. Didn't you read in the Bible that hearing they will hear and not understand? Seeing they will see, they will perceive, they won't perceive. They didn't come to get understanding. We've given them what they came to look for. Let them go. He said, hey, give us interpretation. Then he will not settle down. The sower went forth to sow. You remember what I said that? He said, yes. He said, now, these are the people that are the wayside people. They will explain. And he go and explain about 30-fold, 100-fold. Look, those things in the Bible, in my opinion, sometimes they are summaries. Do you understand what I mean? They will give them detailed analysis. And then Peter will say, yeah, thank you very much. I knew that thing outside there was a joke. That sermon, he will teach them in 15 minutes. Everybody's excited. The disciples will be on him for 45 minutes, 1 hour. 1 hour, 45 minutes, they will keep be talking. Questions. Please, excuse me. What if a man heard and then the thorns are approaching? How can he fight those thorns? Then Jesus will explain. Okay, now, there are people that their hearts are hard, but then you are preaching to them that it's about to soften. What do they do to bring forth this one and allow the root to go down? Then he will teach. Then when they leave the place, they are satisfied. But some people have come, they've been excited, they have gone. So listen, there are different ways to do ministry. You can like the crowd. Do you follow my point? Gather everybody, feel good with yourself. I mean, come on, they give more, well, not really give more money, but even if it's 1 naira, 1 million people, that's $1 million. You understand? It's 10 naira, now that's 10 million naira. So you have a much apparently prosperous ministry, if that's what you're looking for. But if what you want, now I'm bringing out something, all right? Is what people are, you know, trying to boast in. But I tell you that, look, that's not my aim. I remember the first seminar we did here, I prayed specifically that God should not let the people pass more than 150. I said, because of the space that we have, and I'm not planning to rehire any hall. But that, more importantly, CDs, they will go away with as many CDs as possible. And that day I felt very happy. A young man stopped me, he was my student, now a doctor, and said, a guy just wants to greet me, as if to say, okay, I don't know if they do this kind. That he's heard that our messages are free. I said, my friend, they are not free. But when you have bought it, you can share with as many. He said, okay, so essentially it's still free. I said, okay, if that's what you mean. That he went to campus and they were copying the CDs. That people were taking the CDs and just putting everywhere. And I was glad. You get my point? I was glad. Why? Because I want, this is my own aim, to fill the earth with the knowledge of God as the waters cover the seas. That's why those days when I had to make a choice between recording and make sure people hear properly. I said, those of you here, sorry, I dropped the microphone that will have made you hear properly. I hold the one that will make sure we have a record of what we are preaching. Because that's the goal. That's the goal. Now, I'm bringing out something, all of these things. I'm talking about what people boast in. So sometimes that ministry thing, people want, the thing they are boasting in is different from what is moving me to do what I am doing. Are you getting my point? No, it's very, very different. I heard people tell me that, they heard me preach, I would like to hear you. I tell you, okay, I preach on Saturday evening. Say, I don't have time. That's your problem. Am I going to change my schedule so that you can have time? If you don't have time, sorry, you don't want it. You follow what I'm saying? That is, for me, I'm not trying to boast in what some other people are boasting in. That's what I'm going to explain. And that's what Paul was explaining here. People do things for different motives. Now said, no, I was explaining something before I say what Paul now said. That, so you see, there's something we just put, we make an idol of what the world is going after. That's why we brag on the largest churches, where our church is now, we are number 50 in the world ranking of what? Counting numbers. Do you follow what I'm saying? It doesn't mean anything. So Paul said, now let's get back to what Paul is saying. So Paul said that, for me, God forbid that I should boast in anything other than the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to bring up something here. I said the cross represents what? A place of... what was the word I used earlier? I said that it's a place where you lay down that which is old and pick up that which is new. It represents the beginning of the newness of life. Let me give an example. What Paul was saying is that there was a time I achieved a lot of things. I became well known amongst my brethren as being zealous for the law. I was a man that was outstanding in the way I persecuted the church because of my zeal, all right, for the nation of Israel. So Paul was explaining that. So there was a time that he was highly, all right, exalted amongst the people. I mean, he was big enough to go to the rulers and take letters that will introduce him to other rulers. That's how important he was. Now, listen to what the cross did in him. Paul was saying that all these things that were advantages to me, the same now have become what I count them as what? As loss. That is, I am now able to see the things that are real as opposed to the things that are just, all right, temporal, things that will soon pass away. That is what the cross of Christ has done in my life. Are you getting my point? I said something to us some time ago that, you see, before God blesses you, you will get to a point first where you will be at rest with or without the material blessings. Are you getting my point? That is, what you will brag in as a believer is not just that, look at it, God has blessed me materially. It's that even before I experienced this amount of material blessing, I like the way Paul said it, is that I had become independent of circumstances. I had learned how to be the same amidst abundance and amidst lack. Do you follow what I'm saying? That is, I'm not bragging now on material things. No, I'm bragging on the fact that I know that my God shall supply all my needs. I am bragging on the fact that my hope is totally rested in God. Listen, I'll tell you the truth. In recent times, certain things have happened in my life and I had to think. And then again yesterday, I settled down. I was about to drive out and I started thinking again. And I told myself, oh boy, you are very rich. Do you hear what I said? Yes, I tell myself, Banky, you are very, very rich. What do you mean by I'm very, very rich? I said, I have rest of mind. You don't get my point. No, listen, I know what I'm saying. And I said, I have the peace of God that passes all understanding. If you could convert that into money, it's worth a few billions of dollars. So I thought to myself, I said, look, I have become very rich. What do I mean by that? Listen, let me just say this, it interests you. I said that, look, you know, if you have, let's assume now that you have a house in your village, you have one in Lagos, and you have one in America, all right? And one in Enugu here. You know, you don't live in all your houses at the same time. And you probably are not getting any rent from the one in the village, you know. Nobody is living there. In fact, the person staying there is costing you money. Anytime you get there, you have to give him money to clear the compound, close the gate. Tells their hair. Some people came last time, they were throwing stone and they broke this glass. You give him money because it's one distant cousin of yours that just helping you keep the house together. What are you really getting from the house? Let me tell you. The thing you are really getting from that house is the knowledge that it's there. Do you know that? That's the thing you are really... Look, maybe you don't go to the village more than once in 2 years. Why did you build it? Because you want to know it is there and you own it. Assuming you get you are rich enough to have all those houses, probably you don't need the rent from the one that's coming from Lagos. Or maybe you even leave it vacant. What you are really getting from those things is not money. It's the knowledge that it is there. So you rest knowing that you have houses. See, that rest that you achieved by spending 80 million or maybe let's say 100 million naira building houses in Lagos, buying one in US, one in Enugu and in your village, I attained it by reading a Bible and living in a rented place. you don't get what I'm saying. The state of mind you reached spending 100 million naira, I reached this, I'm in that same place, not having spent a fraction of the material resources you spent. What did I spend? Money I used to buy book, buy tape, listen to the word of God, and pray. I don't know whether I get the point. Let me tell you the truth. I'm telling this one factually. When God looks at us in the realm of the spirit, he said, these two people, they're about the same level of wealth. I don't know. That in fact, this guy is slightly higher. Because he's able to give thanks, even though there are no material things to give thanks for. But let's look at the peace of mind that they have, all right? At each particular point in time, he said, two of them are about the same level. So I've judged myself and I've decided that I'm very rich because I have more peace of mind than a lot of people spend hundreds and hundreds of millions of naira trying to attain. I don't know whether you get the point. Yes, I do. I'm telling you the truth. That is what the cross of Christ has produced in me. Because how could God do that? First, he has to explain, and I have to believe, that material things indeed are temporal. I don't know whether I get my point. It does not mean that when I have plenty of money, I won't buy a house. I'm living in a house right now, am I not? So houses are good. Do you follow what I mean? But then, believe me, this guy is going to remain the same. Between now and then. That's now that's not there, and then when it will be there, and maybe plenty, nothing will have changed. That is, as a believer, I don't go around bragging of, praise God. I haven't sold all my seeds, now I have 15 houses. What I'm trying to do is, if I do that, I am misleading those who are looking up to me. I am showing them a wrong way in life, which is not what God wants me to tell them. Because having 15 houses doesn't mean anything at all. At all. It doesn't mean anything. It is still a truthful saying that naked you came to this world. Have you seen a newborn baby before? Very naked. Say naked, you will go again. They say, look, you see, look, that cloth where they put for dead body, the man body, he don't come on, leave the, even the body he came with, he left it since. Are you following what I'm saying? All the land the man acquires, the portion they will give him, eh? You know what I mean? 6 foot this way, I'll dig it down a bit. That's all. And I remember when Abacha died, I still remember that one on TV. The guy who was jumping on top of his grave. And God showed the thing on national TV so that we will know that no matter how powerful you are, one day somebody is going to jump on top of your head. Please, I hope you are following what I'm going to explain. That is, Paul was saying here that this is what I boast in, this is what I brag in, that what the cross of Christ has produced in me. He said, because through that cross, the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. What the world is pursuing, and this is very important, is not what I'm pursuing. What am I pursuing? I'm pursuing, there are two things. One, I'm pursuing the purposes, let me put it like that, of God in my life. Number one, to have his son, all right, fully developed in my person, number one. And number two, to have the plan that he has for me to execute on this earth fully fulfilled. Do you understand my point? Those are the two things that I'm going after. The world will not give me their own agenda. I was a colleague of mine today. We're discussing. I work in the university, all right? There are certain things that are desirable. I'm a university lecturer. So when he and I were talking, I told him, oh boy, I've made certain decisions. So he said, what? I won't give you the details now. I said, these are the decisions I have made. I said, all my temptations have come from people like you. He said, what do I mean? I said, that's how Satan misleads people. I said, listen, in your own life, the thing is not Satan. In your own life, it's probably the will of God. I said, but when you talk, people like you talk, there are certain things we said. I said, you want to push my eyes away, all right, from what I'm supposed to be pursuing. And I said, I won't lie to you, it's tempting. I said, it is tempting. I said, but do you know what is called a temptation? Because it is tempting. Temptations are supposed to be tempting. If it is not tempting, it is not a temptation. So that something attracts you, all right, doesn't mean it's the will of God. I hope you are getting my message. If it's not tempting, it's not a temptation. Don't distract me from what I'm supposed to be doing because of title. Are you getting my point? A colleague of mine said that, look, now I have made it. I'm not a prophet. All right? He said, now I can face the other thing I told you about. I said, okay, wait a minute, that one. He said, the ministry work now. In my mind, if I try what this man is doing, God will kill me. When he told me, I said, Banky, try this one, you're dead. Hey, I remember, hey, I thought of my wife and my children. I said, no, I know they do. Nobody apart from me is marrying this girl. You know what I'm saying? I thought of my wife and my children. But he looked very nice. Listen, the guy told me, he had made it. Oh, professor, you know, hi. I look, and when he told me that now he's about to start ministry, I said, okay, what exactly do you want to do? He told me the things he's planning to do as he was talking. All I was hearing him say, my soul is, Banky, try this. I will personally kill you. That is, you leave the preaching of the word of God aside first. Go and do academia, then you become a prophet. You now come and say, yes, now we've settled that one. Let's now settle this. You don't know what God will do. Have you ever watched science fiction? My father will rise up again from the dead, go back, divorce my mother, unborn me. That
that here. The reason why we gave birth to this guy, look at what he's pursuing. So I said, dear Lord, I thank you for the privilege of even doing this work. There are those who didn't even allow to do it at all. The space you have given me, I'm not complaining at all. The point I'm making is this, that Paul said, through the cross, I have been crucified to the world. And the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. That is, what they are running after is not what I'm running after. And listen, that thing is very important. It's not just about, you know, we look at life as sin and iniquity. That the world has been crucified to me. I don't chase other people's wives. The world has been crucified to me. I don't steal money. The world has been crucified to me. Now, that's what some of us think. We look at in this setting of morally bad sins. No. There are certain things that are just as sinful in the sight of God. Do you understand my point? That we are engaging in. A lot of the things we are doing, we want to get material things to prove that we are successful in the presence of God. Meanwhile, God says, oh boy, big mistake. I pray that in life, all of us will understand the role that material things are supposed to play. I like John G. Lake. Time to go into ministry in Africa. He sold every single thing he had in America. Every single thing. So much that he had to believe God for money to take the boat down. That is, money is nothing. It's nothing. Material things, nothing. If I seek what God wants me to seek, all right, then I will discover indeed, or let me be like this, if indeed I hold on to the cross of Christ, I will discover that what the world is running after is not what I'm running after. Are you getting my point? God indeed has given a new direction to my life. I hope you are getting my point. All right, let me just read this and now let's close. Our time is gone. And I made one point, and I want you to please emphasize this as we close. He said, and those, he said, for verse 15, for neither is circumcision anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. That is, what God is doing in your life, not those outward things of circumcising the flesh. But I just want to run, because I want to comment on verse 16. He said, and those who we walk by this rule, listen, this is the most important thing I think I want to say today. What rule? Before I say the effect. Alright? He said, the rule he's talking about here is that boasting in the cross of Christ, having the world crucified to them and them to the world, having no confidence in anything outward, circumcision or uncircumcision, putting their trust in the matter of the new creation, holding on to faith, like we said earlier, believing in sowing into the realm of the Spirit. Now listen to this. He said, those who will walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now, when Paul said this, let me quickly explain. When he said Israel of God, he said that Israel of God, because if he said, and peace be upon Israel, you will have interpreted it as the nation Israel. Is that okay? But he said, and the Israel of God, reading in context, he was talking about peace being upon the true children of God. He said, we are the circumcision, the true circumcision, who worship in spirit and have no confidence in the flesh. And I said, to those people, peace be upon them. That is, now this is what he's saying. If you want peace and mercy upon you, all right, what you do is learn the rule of God. I don't know whether I get my point. That is, listen, I told you that God always requires an excuse to bless people. This is how God's mercy, okay, and God's peace comes upon you. By walking according to a certain rule. Let me explain something to you as I close. Let me close so you know that I'm closing. In church on Sunday, you know, we do something in our church. After the praise worship session, the elders in the church will come forward, and people who need prayer, you know, they come forward, and then they ask, you tell what you want. And I hear all kinds of things sometimes. So I don't pray for people. I instruct them and bye-bye. Alright? So one guy said that, look, God, there is asking for God to open a door for him that now he has a visa to go to China to come and buy stuff. Now, and that, it's only a long story, but that what he now needs is money. That God will show him favor so that people will help him so they can gather enough money to make his trip to China worthwhile. I say, very good. Put up your hands. Say after me. Now, let me just say it simply. I swear by Almighty God, that anybody that shall give me money, I shall pay him back quickly, and every amount, and shall be a matter of priority. I said in different words, no kinder words. Say, Lord, I ask No, I make a dedication before you. That anybody who gives me money, and then I, as he repeated it, I said, go, you will find favor. Now, I don't know what I get what I say. That is, you're looking for money. I said, you see, there is a rule that will make God show you favor. Do you follow my point? It's not just, I pray for your son, Lord, that favor. Well, the guy is a thief. Maybe. Are you getting my point? Lord, favor. The guy said, God wants to see this money before they see their money again. Well, you are praying for favor. I didn't pray for you to go. I just said, put up your two hands. Vow to God that I won't defraud anybody. I won't cheat them of their money. If they give me money, if it's a matter of interest basis, I will pay them their interest. If it's a matter of bring goods for me, I will deliver their goods. That is, in fact, I told him, tell God, repaying them will be priority. Before I said to myself, I said, if you say that from a sincere heart, go. You will find favor. Because I've discovered that is the problem in life. In fact, the more I see... I see this life, man. Please, let me beg you as I close. Let selfishness be far from you. The Bible says, prefer one another in love. Oh God, do that in your business, in your personal relation, in everything. Prefer other people. If you do that, listen to me. It's a rule of the Spirit. You will find favor. Did you hear what I said? If you do that, it's a rule of the Spirit. You will find favor. Preferring everybody else in love. Being eager to bless somebody else than being willing to be blessed. That I would rather give than receive. Follow these rules. Believe me, you will find favor. Paul said, if anybody will follow these rules, he said, peace and mercy be upon them and the Israel of God. That is, there are rules that produce certain things or that produce certain things. In this particular context, you want peace with God? You want God's mercy and favor upon you? He said, listen, my friend, stop putting emphasis on what is outward. Learn to boast. I was saying something about that boasting thing. That what should I boast in? I used to worry. I don't worry anymore. That's boast. That's what the cross of Christ has what? Produced in me. I used to be so fretful about the affairs of life. I'm not anymore. If it's those days, if I go to a place and I'm not recognized, I'll feel cheated. But now, I don't even want anybody to notice me. Are you getting what I'm saying? That is, you are boasting in what God has done inside you. That's what Paul was saying. I'd rather boast in the cross of Christ. Not in any other thing. That's the rule that produces God's favor. And I'm going to explain something to us that in every area of life, there is a rule that God has written. And that's what God actually does for his children. He gives them what? Understanding. To understand the proper rules that produce certain results. When God wanted to curse some people, he said, go and prophesy. I said to Isaiah, hear and don't understand. See and don't perceive. That is, the ability to understand and the ability to perceive is actually the favor that God will pour upon you so that you will know the rule that produces certain results in your life. I hope you've gotten my point. All right, that's the book of Galatians. We'll close it there.